Y'all turn in your Bible real quickly, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. We'll read two verses there, and then we're going to jump into Luke. Do y'all realize how vulnerable God allowed himself to become? To me, that's the thing about him coming as a baby. Me and Lori the other night were watching The Chosen, the Christmas one. And it was Mary Magdalene was with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and this was after, this is like 48 AD or something, and Jesus was obviously had been crucified and resurrected several years prior, and she was recounting some things for Mary to carry to Luke, because Luke didn't write his gospel until like 60 AD, So she was recounting some things, and it was obviously showing the birth of Jesus and all of this, and something just hit me real hard as we were watching that, and it was the vulnerability of him coming as a baby. But, you know, I sat there and I thought that for the first couple years of his life, Jesus was dependent on his mother's milk just to live. That messed with me. That God himself comes and becomes so vulnerable that he's dependent on a woman's. And I understand Father God could have stepped in at any time, but he chose the path of humbling himself. He chose the path of vulnerability. And you know, we're afraid to do that because, oh, I don't want to get hurt. But yet that's the path that he chose. This morning, I want to talk about Simeon and Anna. I guess if you want to put a title on it, it would be Hope Appears. We last week talked about celebrating the seed. We could say this is that. I think this is definitely applicable to this place and time. The reason I chose in Isaiah for us to look, I'm reading out of King James on this. There's two verses, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. It's one of many prophecies concerning Jesus, but the Messiah that would come. This particular prophecy is declaring that he'll come as a baby. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I love this. They're talking about a baby that's going to be coming, but he's going to be the everlasting father. Is that not wild to y'all? That's wild to me. 8-pound baby, but he's called the everlasting father. The Prince of Peace. "For of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." This is one of many prophecies concerning the Messiah that would come. And all of Israel that worship Yahweh and had their faith in Yahweh, they knew these prophecies well. Most of them were concerning a Messiah that would deliver Israel. They were concerning perhaps the Isaiah 53, where it talks about the death of the Messiah and the by his stripes we are healed and all of these things. And they were familiar with these. But I feel like most of them, when In anticipation and expectation of this manifestation, they did not think that I'm going to see an 8-pound baby. And that's going to be the moment, the tipping point, the turning point where everything in my life hinges and everything in all of creation hinges and all of the world hinges on this moment. In our minds, in our natural minds, we would think more. We would tend to think more. The moment when John the Baptist declared and looks at a 30-year-old man and says, "Behold the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." To me, it took, and I said this last week, to me, it took a greater level of faith to come in and embrace a vulnerable, in the natural terms, helpless baby. And say, that's it. It took greater faith to do that than it did to look at a 30-year-old man that was strong and epitomized, I believe, what a man is supposed to look like, and watch him perform the miracles and do all of these things. It's easier to say that's the Messiah, and I put my faith and my trust and my hope in this. What manner of man is this that he walks on the waves? I get that. But can we say that when he's in the manger? And I marvel and I stand in awe with these people that are in this moment where as they see this thing in seed form, and I say this thing not disrespectful, but as they see this child in seed form and they can say, behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. I'm like, whew. What level of relationship that you're walking in that you can come in and you can see something in absolute seed and say, this is it. This is that which the prophet Isaiah spoke of. So I want us to look at a couple individuals, and I want us to just kick out a couple things, and then we'll go and just let it marinate on us. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 2. I'm in the Passion Translation with this. I'm going to start in verse 21. On the day of the baby's circumcision ceremony, 8 days after his birth, his parents gave him the name Jesus. The name was prophesied by the angel before he was born. So you had Jesus born in Bethlehem, and then 8 days later you had him circumcised. And then 40 days after he was born, the parents would take him, and after Mary's purification was complete, she would go and present herself and the child to the temple. And so 40 days, now get this, 40 days after the shepherds, 40 days after the manger, they're going to the temple. So you've got a baby that's 40 days old. We know the number 40 in the scriptures, it's the number of testing. The children of Israel, they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted of the devil. So after 40 days, he was carried to the temple. Just some real cool back notes on this. In this particular temple, the temple was destroyed in 580 something B.C., they rebuilt the temple, but the Ark of the Covenant no longer resided in the temple. The Ark of the Covenant had not, the presence of God in that sense had not been in the temple for 580 years until Jesus showed up as a 40-day-old baby. And all of a sudden the presence returned. And it didn't look like an ark with gold overlaid on everything and the cherubims over the top and all that. It looked like a little baby. Can you celebrate the seed? Can you celebrate the small? And it's not small, it's seed. I misuse that a lot. The word says, despise not the day of small beginnings. And so he's coming in 40 days after the birth of her son. Mary's time of purification had completed. So she came to the temple with a sacrifice according to the law of Moses. So Mary and Joseph took baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be dedicated before the Lord. For it is stated in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be set apart for God and is required to offer a prescribed sacrifice, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. They were poor. The wise men had not yet visited them. That was to come later on. So they were a poor couple. So the requirement for someone that could not afford a lamb was two pigeons or two turtle doves. And so that was their offering as they came to the Lord. I get messed up though as I think about that, because the average person, if we were of means, we would come and we would bring our lamb. We would bring the best that this had to offer, but they brought something more excellent than that. They didn't bring a lamb from the fields around Bethlehem or the fields around Jerusalem. They brought the Lamb of God, which came down from the throne. And so while I'm sure they brought their turtle dove and they brought their pigeons, they held something in their arms that was much greater than it was the Lamb of God. And so they're coming into the temple to offer their sacrifices. And in verse 25, it says, as they came to the temple to fulfill this requirement, an elderly man was there waiting, a resident of Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. He was a very good man, a lover of God who kept himself pure. and the spirit of holiness rested upon him. Is that not a profound statement concerning someone pre-Pentecost? Think about that, Grant. That's a pre-Pentecost statement. And it said that the spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit rested upon him. Whew. You're talking about a life, a whole heart, all four chambers that are given to the Lord, Simeon had given it to the Lord. And in return, God rested upon him. He rested upon him. Ahead of his time. That's the thing I love about the miracle at the wedding of Cana. Is Jesus said, my time's not come yet. And his mama said, whatever he says, do, do it. She said, I'm going to make a withdrawal from heaven ahead of time. Because by two things I can do this, faith and relationship. Come on, somebody. That's what we've been talking about this morning, about dreaming and all of that stuff. And sometimes we'll say, my time's not come. This has got to happen, and this has got to happen, and this has got to happen, and this has got to happen. But through faith and relationship, those two things that are married together, the Father will come in and say, is that your dream, Beth? Is that your heart? Because as in our conversation a few weeks ago, is this God or is this me? And he's like, yes. Yes, they're intertwined. Because I put that in you. But it's your desire and it's your heart. And so he says yes to that as we say yes to that. So faith and relationship come in. And they pull, they draw from the Lord. And so I see Simeon, and in this faith and relationship, he's in this place where the spirit of holiness rests upon him. It said, Simeon believed in the imminent appearing of the one called, I love these names of God, guys. Simeon believed in the imminent appearing of the one called the Refreshing of Israel. Isn't that a beautiful name for Jesus? The Refreshing of Israel. For the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. Once again, a pre-cross, pre-Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit is having communion with this cat. The Holy Spirit is having communion with him. And it said that he revealed to him that he would not see death before he saw the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. And then in verse 27, it says, keeping his promise, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to be in the temple court at the very moment Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. Keeping his promise. Can I tell you guys that God's faithful? God's faithful? God's faithful? He'll finish what he started. And he'll be Jireh along the way. And he'll be Nisi along the way. And he'll be Rapha along the way. And he'll be all these things along the way. But he's keeping his promise. I like that. Keeping his promise. Keeping his promise. The Holy Spirit led Simeon to be in the temple court at the very moment Jesus' parents entered to fulfill the requirement of the sacrifice. So this moment of fate, this moment of destiny, this moment of faith for him and God keeping his promise, Simeon was no stranger to the temple. I believe it was his habit, his nature, his continual was to come to the temple and minister to the Lord in the temple because he was from Jerusalem. It wasn't an annual thing. It was a constant thing. I believe he and Anna knew each other, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But Simeon was there the exact same moment that Jesus came in with Mary and Joseph. Sometimes you just got to be there. And we'll call it luck, and we'll call it fate, or we'll call it whatever you the world wants to call it. But at the end of the day, you've got to be there sometimes. I like to hunt. I enjoy hunting. I haven't done any deer hunting this year. The only time I've been, Randy, was carrying Taylor so she could kill a deer. Just hadn't been as interested in it this year. I'd rather ride horses or go hiking with my wife, and so that's what we do with our time. And but you know what? I haven't seen any big deer in a deer stand. You know why? Because I hadn't been in a deer stand. And we say, I don't have these encounters with God. You got to be there. You've got to make yourself available. You've got to be intentional. You've got to carve out heart. You've got to carve out time. You've got to carve out space to see God move. Sometimes you just got to be there. Simeon could have stayed at home and said, oh, I believe, hypothetically, I believe, and I think God's going to do something and all of that. But what caused him to have an encounter with the Messiah was he was at the temple. And I say many times there are things that God can only do in private, but there are also things that God can only do corporately. And so he was there when they came in. We don't see anything of a dialogue between Mary and Joseph and Simeon other than it, Luke immediately jumps in and it says, Simeon cradled the baby in his arms and praised God and prophesied. I love the phrase in that, that Dr. Simmons comes out and he pulls from the Aramaic and different translations and he says, Simeon cradled the baby in his arms. We've all seen the painting that's a beautiful painting to me of Simeon as he's holding the Messiah up. And I think the title of the painting is Simeon's Blessing. And he's holding the baby, the Messiah up and rejoicing and celebrating God. But in this, he said he's cradling the child, the Messiah. He's cradling Jesus in his arms. And I made myself a note in my Bible right here. How do we embrace the promises? Because perhaps I can fall at his feet after he's done great things in my life. And I can worship him after he's done great things in my life, Nick. But what about when the promise and the hope fulfilled looks like seed? On that day, Jesus did not heal anybody. Jesus spoke no words of wisdom. He did not confound the teachers. He did nothing Jesus-like in that day other than just be. And yet, when Simeon saw him and the Holy Spirit said, this is it, he embraced and he cradled Jesus in his arms. He embraced the promise, even though it was, I think a lot of people fail to receive and to live out God's promises in their life because they always want to keep them on the periphery. It's always at arm's length because it's safer at arm's length, right? I mean, what if I pick up the wrong kid and prophesy over the wrong kid? Got to trust the fact that the Holy Spirit is living and stirring and moving inside of you. Grant, last night we were talking about the different personality tests you take. You know, are you a thinker, are you a feeler, and all that stuff. And you know, hopefully the answer is yes to all of that. But I want to tell you something, guys. There's this litmus test within us, and that's the Holy Spirit and the peace that He brings, and the resolve and everything that He brings. And that transcends natural knowledge, that transcends plans, that transcends all of these things. And Simeon comes in and he cradles the baby in his arms and prays God and prophesied. How do you embrace the promises in your life? You know, I'm afraid to go all in. What if I get hurt? You will, but he's the comforter and the healer. You'll get hurt by people. You'll get hurt by culture. You'll get hurt by society. You'll be disappointed by God because you will think He's supposed to do things in this way and His ways are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. But we cannot allow that to keep us from cradling and embracing the promises in our life and believing it for ourselves. Some of the biggest breakthroughs I've ever had in my Christian journey is when I began to embrace scriptures as my own instead of just believing it for a group in general or a different group of people. And say, you know what? Isaiah 60 and Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62, God wrote that to me. You can piggyback if you want to, Tyler, but he had to see it on his mind when he was writing that. And there's beautiful room for you to come in on that. But I claim that as mine. And as I begin to claim these things and say, God, I believe that you wrote that to me. I believe, Holy Spirit, that is your heart for me. I believe that these dreams that you're stirring in me, you know, to the world, they may seem too big, but to you, they're not big enough yet. And I'm a dreamer, man. I ain't kidding, man. I want to stretch myself. Lord's like, help me. I want to stretch her, you know, physically in every way possible. I want it to be adventurous and challenging and see what we're made out of and try to achieve something and all of that. But, man, I want even that to pale in comparison to spiritual dreams and spiritual belief in what God can do in us and those around us. So you know what I'm going to do? Everything I can to push you and challenge you and encourage you and stretch you and get you to a place where God can stretch you. Because Simeon sit here and he saw this and he said, you know what this reminds me of? Y'all remember the story of Elijah and Mount Carmel? And he sends his servant to the top because Elijah, God told him. He came forward, man. Elijah was a pretty, man, how do I say this online? Bold cat. He had big boldness. Let me say it like that. That's pretty good. Got thumbs up from Nick. He had big boldness. He comes to Ahab and he said, at my word, it's going to stop raining. And at my word, it'll start raining. You talking about being the most hated man in Israel? He got that title. He won that award. Because 3 years later, it still hadn't rained. And we all know the story of Mount Carmel. We all know the story of what happened with the prophets of Baal and the sacrifices. And God came down and God licked up the sacrifices and all of this stuff. And then he looks at Ahab and he said, you better get in your chair and you better get down the mountain because the rain's about to come. And the whole time he's sending his servant up there, he said, go to the top of the hill and look and you see if you see a. He comes back finally, I think the seventh time, and he says, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. And when he said that, that's when Elijah told Ahab, you better go now. Because you're about to be overwhelmed. Big boldness. Confident in who he was in Christ. I love that KK's the way she is. I made the statement, I'd rather rain back than, and I don't even know if I want to rain back. This kid's got so much. Randy, I was playing with some little robot game she got for Christmas yesterday, and they were like, you know, kind of like the old boxing things. These are robots, and they're doing all this. Well, you know, hers knocked mine down, and I think twice. And she said, you know, it ain't the robots, because one of them's red and one of them's white. She said, it don't matter what color you play with. She said, I'm just good. She didn't want me to think that she had the better robot. She said, it's me. I'm just good. And I'm like, no lack of confidence in this one. And it's kind of like big boldness. It's like Elijah. This is it. This is that. Let's run with it. Simeon, this is it. I know it looks like an 8-pound baby that's dependent on his mother's breast milk. But this is the refresher of Israel. This is that. This is that. Look, see what he says right here. He said he praised God and then he started prophesying. Lord and Master, I'm your loving servant. Now I can die content, for you have fulfilled your promise to me. With my own eyes, I have seen your word, the Savior you sent into the world. He will be glory for your people Israel and the revelation light for all people everywhere. Whew. You're talking about a missionary send off, revelation light for all people everywhere. Mary and Joseph stood there awestruck over what was being said about their baby. That kind of blows my mind a little bit, but I bet it was stretching their faith too, because they, you know, how many times in the scripture does it say Mary pondered these things in her heart? She's figuring all this out along as she went and trying to be, and I'm just, and you got this guy, this old man that's in the temple, and he comes in and he begins to celebrate when he sees, and he takes my baby out of my arms, and she begins to hold him up to God, and she begins to prophesy, and she begins to declare, and it said Mary and Joseph stood there awestruck. stood there awestruck. I want to bring kingdom awe into people's lives. It didn't say they were awestruck over Simeon. It was said they were awestruck over the prophecy that Simeon was declaring. Nobody will ever be awestruck by me, but I want them to be awestruck by God manifesting through our lives. So they were awestruck. Simeon then blessed them and prophesied over Mary, saying, "A painful sword will one day pierce your inner being, for your child will be rejected by many in Israel." Man, is this not some profound prophetic words right here? This goes all the way back to Genesis. He will bruise the seed's heel, but the seed will bruise his head. Talking about Satan. "A painful sword will one day pierce your inner being, for your child will be rejected by many in Israel. And the destiny of your child is this: he will be laid down as a miracle sign for the downfall and resurrection of many in Israel. Many will oppose this sign, but it will expose to all the innermost thoughts of their hearts before God." That's a profound statement right there. I'm going to read that one more time. Let it soak in. He's talking about the cross. He'll be laid down as a miracle sign. The cross is the miracle sign. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." For that tree to be laid down and lifted up. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me." And he's lifted up on that cross. And then he's laid down in a tomb. And then he's lifted up by the Spirit of God in resurrection life. So twice he's laid down and lifted up. And he said, "This is a miracle sign. This is a miracle sign. Many will oppose this sign, but it will expose to all the innermost thoughts of their hearts before God." It'll reveal in you, guys. It'll reveal the purity of your heart. It'll reveal the nature of your heart. And I want to throw, this seems like a real weird time, but if you can't look at that and say, "It is well with my soul," then today is your day for repentance and salvation. He didn't say he's going to expose your acts. He didn't say he's going to expose your ways. He said it's going to expose the innermost thoughts of their heart before God. Man, I don't care if you get it right all the time. I just want your heart to be pure before him. He can fix the mix-ups. He can fix the mistakes. He can correct that. That's why in Proverbs, even it says, above all else, guard your heart. Because he wants that to stay pure. He wants that to stay right. There's a battlefield that goes on here often, but that battlefield should not be here. And once you give him everything, Once you give him all four chambers, the battlefield shouldn't be here. There's some warring that'll take place here, but not here. Not here. Have y'all ever looked at the significance of that prophetic declaration that Simeon's made to Mary? And then in verse 36, it said, "A prophetess named Anna was also in the temple court that day. She was from the tribe of Asher and the daughter of Phanuel. Anna was an aged widow who had been married only 7 years before her husband passed away. After he died, she chose to worship God in the temple continually. For the past 84 years, she had been serving God with night and day prayer and fasting." The Greek text said that she was 84 years old. The Aramaic text said that 84 years from her husband's death. So either she's knocking around 100 years old or she's 84 years old. One of the two, whichever, doesn't matter. But it said she committed her life to worship and prayer and fasting and serving God in the temple. I personally believe, I'm going to interject what I believe right here. Tyler, I personally believe that she knew Simeon very well. They were in the house together. They were two old people that had committed their life to God, to serving him. There's no doubt in my mind that Simeon had told Anna that God promised me I would see the Messiah before I die. I believe she had heard his testimony. Because if you've got a good testimony, you know what you do? You share it. And some people think that you've got big boldness, big dreams, but you share it. You share it. There's some things you keep in. One of the kings of Israel messed up because he allowed a pagan king to come in and say all that Israel was as far as their wealth and their riches and their weaponry and all of that. He revealed too much to the world. But I believe he shared his testimony with Anna. He shared his testimony to people of like faith. He said, this is what God said, and this is what I believe. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere because this is the word of the Lord. And he shared that with Anna. We see nowhere in Scripture where Anna had ever received a word like this from the Lord, where she had been promised this from the Lord. The average age of somebody at this point in time, I'm gonna guess right here, and some of you guys could probably correct me, but I bet that the average life expectancy of somebody that is operating around the birth of Christ was probably about 50 years old. Wouldn't you think that'd probably be about right, Grant? Somewhere maybe 60. That'd be a stretch, I think. You know, maybe in the 40s. So these were two old people. And we don't see anything that she had had a promise, and that's why she was so old. We see Simeon had the promise, so he wasn't going anywhere till God fulfilled it. But she was doing her thing and loving Yahweh, and she's in the temple as her custom was, and she walks in, and she looks over there, and what does she see? She sees Simeon cradling a baby in his arms. She sees Simeon lifting a baby, let's rephrase that, lifting seed up and celebrating seed, prophesying over seed, rejoicing in seed. And you know what she says? Immediately comes to the conclusion of, this is that. This is that. This is that. While Simeon was prophesying over Mary and Joseph and the baby, Anna walked up to them and burst forth with a great chorus of praise to God for the child. Because she hadn't seen Simeon lifting up every baby that came into the temple. You know how many babies came into the temple? The ritual for the Jewish women when they had their firstborn son was there was 40 days of a cleansing period and then they came. There were babies 40 days old in the temple constantly. What separated this one? It was the seed of God. It was the promise of God. You're going to have so many opportunities. I'll talk to you young folks and you young folks. And Kenzie's helping her mom, I guess. You still qualified, Case. You about to turn 21, though. You about to be an adult, so we'll get you very quickly. You barely squeaking in under that window. Figuratively speaking, you're going to have a ton of babies that are going to come into the temple every day. They're going to come into your life every day. But it doesn't mean they're it. There's one that'll have the breath of God. Or maybe more that'll have the breath of God. But the thing that separates them is the Spirit of God and the breath of God on it. There'll be guys that'll come into y'all's lives. All of them aren't from the Lord. They might be sweet. They might be nice. They might be good looking and, you know, ambitious and all of these things. I'm not saying any of those things are bad attributes. But there's one that's going to do it. And you know what that is? That's the one that's got the breath of God on it. That's the one that's got the breath of God on it. And when you see that and you recognize that, that's the one that you embrace. And I'm not just talking about guys. I'm talking about opportunities in life. And I've tried to connect myself to things, and I've tried to do this and this and this and this and all of these things. And you know what? When it comes around to it, y'all have heard me say this before, and I don't mean to get all gushy, because I love Marty Smith like ridiculous. And I've only known Marty Smith for 3 years now. And me and Lori, for years, man, we prayed that God just connect us with somebody, because we had a heart for missions and a heart for ministry outside the country. And we've been on mission trip. And I really wanted to get connected with Mike Gray and him, because I have so much respect for him and Karen, and just amazing people of God. And when we went on mission trip with them, and we've known them for 20 years, and we're like, man, this is it. And it's like God was like, no, it's not. They're amazing, and y'all have got an amazing heart, but this isn't it. And we're like, man, we had the conversations. And then y'all came along. And God said, man, I was holding out until they showed up. And our work that we want to do overseas, it doesn't encompass all of it. We're going to do some stuff in Africa this year and all, but still. God said, this is what I breathed on. So, I got a man crush on Marty, because he's the one that God set aside for me. I mean, that's it. Cool thing is, God's got that for y'all. God's got that for your life. And Anna comes in, and she sees Simeon in here, and he is prophesying and worshiping and celebrating. And you know what? She immediately says, this is it, because I see the fulfillment of his testimony. And the question for us, will we celebrate somebody else's seed being the fulfillment? Because a lot of times we can't, because we're sitting around saying, when am I going to get mine? And the word says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies and it sprouts, then it becomes something beautiful. And if you're sitting there, when am I going to get mine, and you can't celebrate with a semen, you know what that tells God? That seed hadn't fell into the earth and died yet. And she was propelled, because she saw someone else's promise, someone else's dream being fulfilled. And she knew of his testimony. She said, I celebrate that. I celebrate that. And I know this man's heart, and I know this man is in serving the Lord. And if God comes in and says, I've never seen him hold up a baby like this. I've never seen him prophesy like this. This must be the refresher of Israel. Can I tell you guys something? Sometimes you need to attach your faith to somebody else's word. You say, I ain't got a word. Maybe you need to attach your faith to Tyler's word. Maybe you need to attach your faith to Grant's word. Maybe you need to attach your faith to Jeff's word. That's how you get your words, is you come in and I'm saying, God, I'm coming in, and I'm kingdom. This woman purposed in her heart, she was kingdom. And so you know what she did? She said, if you're going to manifest this semen, she didn't say, why don't he ever talk to me like that? She saw it manifesting in semen. And she says, I can attach my faith to that, and I can celebrate that. And so you know what she got to do? She got to see the Messiah before she died too. She got to see. She got the same promise that Simeon did, even though we have no record of her getting the same word Simeon got. Hello, that's to somebody out there today. There have been times by faith I've had to attach my faith to somebody else's word and celebrate with them as they saw the manifestation. And so you know what that became? That became part of my inheritance too. Y'all remember Caleb from the, not just the Exodus, but the conquest stage when they came in with Joshua? Y'all remember that? They came into the promised land. And Caleb comes up to Joshua, and Joshua's the leader, and Caleb comes up to him, and he says, "You remember what God promised me?" They're starting to divvy up. He's an old man at this point. They're starting to divvy up the land. And he comes in, and he said, "You remember what the Lord promised me?" It's the hardest land to take. It's fortified. It's occupied by the baddest folks, wall cities, all of this stuff. But it's the land that I want in my heart. And so I'm claiming this land, and God promised me I would have this land 40 years ago. And so you know what? I'm coming in and I'm claiming my promise. And so I'm going to go in and I'm going to take this land. And this cat's an 80-plus-year-old guy. And he says, "I'm going to take the land. I'm going to take the hardest land. I chose the hardest ground because I believe it's my inheritance." Well, guess who got to inherit that with him? Everybody else that was part of his tribe. Did God promise to everybody else? God promised to Caleb. But there was a blessing by association. Now, they went in and they labored with him and they fought with him and they took the cities. But the promise initially went to who? But guess who received? All. All. Because their faith was attached to somebody else's word. Their faith was attached to somebody else's word. Anna's faith was attached to somebody else's word. And so before she died, she got to see the Messiah. Let me read this and we'll dismiss. While Simeon was prophesying over Mary and Joseph and the baby, Anna walked up to them and burst forth with a great chorus of praise to God for the child. From that day forward, she told everyone in Jerusalem who was waiting for their redemption that the anticipated Messiah had come. You know who that reminds me of? Saint Flotini, the woman at the well. Let me tell you about a man that told me everything that I had ever done. A man that I met by Jacob's well when I was out there and nobody normal was supposed to be there, but I had an encounter with God because he was there. And Jesus changed my life. So I'm telling everybody in Samaria and I'm bringing them all out to see Jesus. And the same thing's happening with Anna right here. And she's saying, "The Messiah's here, the Messiah's here, the Messiah's here." And they say, "Where's the Messiah?" Well, he's just a baby. He's 40 days old. He's still dependent on his mother's breast milk. But he's the Messiah. How many "oh, she's crazies" do you think she got? But she saw with her eyes. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. And so everybody in Jerusalem that was of faith, it didn't say she went out to other, it said the people that were looking for the return of the Messiah. She told everyone, "He's here. I found him. I've seen him." Wow. When Mary and Joseph had completed everything required of them by the law of the Lord, they took Jesus and returned to their home in Nazareth in Galilee. The child grew more powerful in grace, for he was being filled with wisdom and the favor of God was upon him. They left there. They went to their home in Nazareth. The wise men found them in the months to come. And then God immediately spoke to them in a dream and said, "Go to Egypt because Herod's looking for the child to kill him." And they left and they stayed in Egypt until Herod died. And then God brought them back. We don't hear of anything else about Jesus until he's 12 years old. And then there's a gap from 12 years old until he's 30 years old. And we don't see it happening. We don't see it moving. We don't see manifestations. But it doesn't mean that God wasn't working. Because I saw something years ago. I saw something weeks ago. I saw something days ago. It may not be manifesting right now, but I know God's at work. I know He's stirring. I know He's moving. I know He's completing something. What does this say right here? The child grew more powerful in grace, for he was being filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. You can come in right there in verse 40 and you can say, the word the Lord spoke to me grew more powerful in grace because it was being filled with wisdom and the favor of God was upon it. What did Simeon say in his praise to God? With my own eyes, I have seen your word. With my own eyes, I've seen your word. And so you've got a 12-year gap, and then you've got a 18-year gap after a brief recording of the temple experience when Mary and Joseph lost Jesus for 3 days. Still blows my mind, lost Jesus for 3 days. I mean, how do you lose the Son of God? But they did. I'll probably get in heaven one day and Joseph will be like, dude, it ain't that hard, okay? But my point in this is, guys, this is that didn't stop being. Listen to that. Let that be heavy on you in a good way. This is that did not stop being. It didn't stop being for 12 years, and then it didn't stop being for another 18 years. It didn't stop being. It grew in anointing and wisdom and stature and in favor of God and with men. That's what it says about Jesus after the year 12 encounter at the temple. It said he grew in favor with God and with men. And I think a lot of times we think two things happen. Is we think our seed is just seed, so we can't celebrate it. And to that, I tell you, this is that. And then the second thing, we have those gap years when nothing's happening. From age 40 days to 12, or age 12 to 30, and we say nothing's happening. And it's still this is that. It doesn't stop being this is that. I want to encourage you in that, man. You may be in that place. I planted some grass a week or so ago. And I went out and I put the seed out. And then I've been covering it with hay and all of this stuff. And to look at it right now, nothing is happening. But I know it is. We got 70 degree temperatures, 60 something degree temperatures all week long. You know what's happening? I'm going to come back from Utah in about 10 days, and you know what I'm going to see? They're going to be a little carpet of green behind y'all's house. Because in the waiting, something's happening. In the waiting, this is still that. Church, in the waiting, this is still that. Don't get discouraged. I don't see nothing going on. This is that. I hadn't got the word. I hear Sid and he's excited and he's pumped up. I hear Sister Lori and I see and they're so excited about what God's doing and all of this stuff. And I hadn't got a word yet. This is still that. This is still that, not just for us. This is that for you. This is that. This is that. It's still that. It's still that. Still that. The hope of the world. The hope of the world. Hope showed up. And it looked like Jesus. Hope showed up. It looked like Tyler Carter. And that's what heaven looks like. It's supposed to be. In all its glory. All its glory. I love I love sunsets and I love sunrises, both. Both are amazing. The thing that makes sunsets stunning, I've seen sunsets over the Caribbean and different islands and places, and the sun just drops into the ocean, and it's just an orange ball, and it's okay. It doesn't just like, you know what makes a sunset amazing? When there are clouds around. And the light of the setting sun hits those clouds that by themselves, they may seem arbitrary, they may seem insignificant, they may seem nothing. But when the light of the sun hits those things, then all of these amazing colors begin to cast. The pastels. We had that. The sun's setting over Marty's Mountain in Honduras, and we're sitting there, you know, watching it, and it was nothing happened. You know, it just kind of sunk behind the thing and all of that stuff. And, you know, Marty had a little business to take care of, so I'm going to go take care of some business. And about 5 minutes later, I was like, dude, did you see that? And he didn't. He missed it because there was nothing happening when it was set. But you know what made it stunning? To my right, there were clouds nestled between some other mountains. And you know what happened? The sun hit them. The sun itself falling behind the cloud, behind the mountain, was not glorious that day. But when it shined on the clouds, it was stunning. You're the cloud. You're the cloud. You are the cloud. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. That's it. Let's stand to our feet. Yay, God. I hope y'all enjoyed this morning. It excites the mess out of me, guys. So, man, I'm glad it does something for you. Well, just let your faith latch on to what God's saying to me right now, okay? Because this is that. This is that. This is that. I'm small. We're small. All of heaven showed up. It looked like one baby. And everybody started nutting out over it and saying, this is it. This is amazing. This is, oh, it's home now. It's home now. I tell you what I feel like. I'm done with this, and I'll pray blessing over y'all, and we'll go. If y'all been watching, some of y'all watched The Chosen. This was early on, season one. James, you remember when Peter was just so anxious for Jesus to go public? And he's like, Lord, is it time now? 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 And I think in The Chosen, when it was time, was he said, you know, I think it was he said, we're going to Samaria, and it's the cat's out of the bag, basically. And Peter goes, woo! It's on now! It's on now! Didn't look like much to the world. But Peter's spirit leapt, and he said, it's on now. My soul's leaping right now because it's on now. Simeon's soul leapt, and he said, it's on now. Anna saw Simeon rejoicing, and her spirit leapt, and she said, it's on now. Because I saw somebody else's word manifesting. Get that in you. Nick, how many D1 football teams are there in America? 120? 132? I knew he'd be closer than me. 132. We'll take it on as the word of authority. You know how many fan bases are energized right now of 132? Four. Four. You know why? Because really nobody cares who wins the whatever bowl game now. I can't even keep up with the names anymore. They're not traditional. It ain't the Alamo Bowl, or I mean, that's a low. You know, they ain't none of those. It's some funky name. 128 fan bases could care less right now. Still love their school. I mean, Errol still bought her kids LSU T-shirts and all that stuff. Brett bought them LSU T-shirts. Yeah, your money paid for that. But there are four fan bases that are energized right now. You know why? Because they're playing for something huge. We should be so energized right now, even though we're only four out of 132. You know why? Because we're playing for something huge. I'm one of a small number of gringos in the Philippines. But I'm so stoked because we're playing for something huge. I'm going to the airport tomorrow. You know what I will see? 99% of the team paraphernalia that I see somebody dressed in, it'll be either be a Braves fan because they won the World Series, or it'll be one of those four. I'll say Alabama and Georgia, all everywhere. And you know why they are representing so strong right now? Because we are playing for something huge. You know why Anna told everybody in Jerusalem? Because this is that. This is that. It is a very big deal. It's a very big deal. So I send y'all out today in the blessings of the Lord and the understanding and the faith that this is a real big deal. So you go out and you do everything in your life and you live your life like it's a big deal. If you take a life, don't waste a life. Live it like it's a big deal. Amen. Y'all have an awesome week. I love you guys. We'll see y'all next Sunday. They'll be here next Sunday. So I won't, but James will. So I'll be praying for him. And we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Happy New Year.